if I just make three quick points. The first is we've been lied to by government officials and corporate types about absolutely everything to do with this so-called virus pandemic, the severity of the public health threat, the necessity to lock down asymptomatic transmission, the use of masks, mass testing, and finally, vaccines. Every single part of the narrative, every single part is a lie, scientifically proven. And I know that the people like Fauci, like Sir Patrick Vallance, were lying through the TVs to the audience because we share a common training. I trained at the same kind of universities at the same time. That meant we had the same foundational training, for example, in immunology. And then when they said things I knew were not true, I knew that they knew that too, and that they were lying to you. And that was what kickstarted me from very early on. So basically, they're not frightened of people like me because they figure that I won't be heard. So here's the thing. Please, listener, what I ask you to do is memorize two or three of the most powerful things I told you. You must go and tell 10 other people. Please don't tell me it's hard. I know it's hard. I've been trying to do this for almost 3 years. But the only way we'll win is if you tell 10 other people. The mass media is never going to tell them, right? They're never going to tell them. And they won't work it out on their own. They're still in the narrative. What I think is going to happen, and I wish I wasn't being right, I think they will make digital ID mandatory. Not necessarily vaccine passport, but that would do. Digital ID will become mandatory, and you will not be able to shop or travel or work without it or get healthcare. And I think the other thing they'll do is withdraw cash and replace all currency with central bank digital currencies. At that point, Alex, if they say if you don't get your next jab, we'll not allow you to buy gasoline or travel or buy food, that the system I've just described is trivial. It's already ready to go.
A poll went up on Infowars.com this morning. It's got 15,700 votes as of a few minutes ago when I printed this off. And we asked, what issue is most concerning to you right now? Illegal immigration, economy, censorship, medical tyranny. Illegal immigration was 26%, economy 25%, censorship 11%, medical tyranny 37%. And whoever the crew put that up, it's a good poll, but I would have just added the other point of the war in Ukraine leading to nuclear war, with the doomsday clock moved by that international committee to 90 seconds to total Armageddon. But I would ask our next guest, what does he think is a bigger issue, the medical tyranny or the world marching towards thermonuclear war? And I think both of them are the same subject of an establishment that's gone quite mad. Well, we've had a lot of big guests on here, but of the top two or three people that from the beginning have exposed this, the guy that first, well over 2 years ago, that specifically predicted everything was going to happen, filed emergency motions in the European Union Parliament that I saw with Wolfgang Wudarg and others, was Dr. Michael Yeadon. And he couldn't have a better curriculum vitae or a background. Dr. Yeadon is a professional research scientist. He's a lifelong career in big pharma and biotech R&D, preceded by training with joint first-class honors in biochemistry and toxicology. Also did 3 years of research based on impact of opiates on receptors. Even more noteworthy is that he used the fentanyl class of synthetic opiates invented at Janssen Labs, now part of Johnson & Johnson, which places him in a unique position to offer expert testimony as well. He has trained and practiced research across a wide range of relevant life sciences for 40 years. He retired, 4 years ago or so, or he could correct me, from Pfizer as their vice president, one of their main directors. But I'm going to let him give you his background so I don't get it wrong. But you couldn't have a more credentialed individual, and I'd call him really, really establishment whistleblower, than Dr. Michael Yeadon. I'm going to do my best because we have millions of people tuned in to try to let him just lead this discussion where he wants to go here in the next 50 minutes we have. So Dr. Yeadon, take it over.
Thank you very much, Alex. It's a real privilege to speak to you and through you, hopefully to a large audience, some of whom have not heard from me before. So yes, I think it would be fair to say I'm the most qualified former pharmaceutical company executive speaking anywhere in the world. That was true early in 2020, and it's still true now. Sadly, as you say, I have a proper training in biochemistry, toxicology, and then a research-based PhD on opiates and respiration. Then I spent 23 years in Big Pharma, leaving Pfizer as their vice president and worldwide head of respiratory research in 2011. And then I worked for 10 years in biotech. I founded a biotech company myself. I was the CEO, and I led that through financing, clinical trials, and it was acquired by Novartis in 2017. So the point of saying this is I think I am the peer scientifically of anyone you will hear on the TV in public health, like Dr. Fauci or Sir Patrick Vallance in the UK, or any of the senior pharmaceutical R&D staff that are running the vaccine R&D programs right now. I know personally three of the four people running it. And I realized very early on, March 2020, that basically we were under attack. And I knew this for this reason. We had imposed upon us lockdowns, an absurd prison slang type of approach for which there was no precedent anywhere in public health.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir. Your Skype broke up for 5 seconds. Please continue.
Okay. So, yeah. So basically the lockdown told us that there was a supranational plot, I'm afraid, to impose these measures upon us. And then if I just make three quick points, the first is we've been lied to by government officials and corporate types about absolutely everything to do with this so-called virus pandemic, the severity of the public health threat, the necessity to lock down asymptomatic transmission, the use of masks, mass testing, and finally, vaccines. Every single part of the narrative, every single part is a lie, scientifically proven. And I know that the people like Fauci, like Sir Patrick Vallance, were lying through the TVs to the audience because we share a common training. I trained at the same kind of universities at the same time. That meant we had the same foundational training, for example, in immunology. And then when they said things I knew were not true, I knew that they knew that too, and that they were lying to you. And that was what kickstarted me from very early on.
Well, I'm not a famous, well-known scientist, top of your class like you, but I know basic things like learned immunity is better than artificial immunity. And they said, no, that's not the case. Or they said this was a vaccine when it wasn't a classic vaccine. I mean, they were attacking therapeutics that the Pentagon had tested years ago and said were really good for these type of viruses. So I was having the same concerns as a layperson. And then I saw your research and it really validated my basic understanding.
No, you're right. And in fact, I've got a couple of phrases people told me were very powerful. I just threw them out there. So I've got this rhetorical question, Alex. What's the right number of times your public health officials should lie to you in a way that could cost you your health or your life? What's the right number? Now, I think the answer is zero, right? They shouldn't deliberately tell you things that they know to be untrue. Well, you've just listed three or four. I've found six, seven, eight. There is no question. These people are lying to you. When people lie to you, it's to hide something or to introduce something. And I think they are introducing these so-called vaccines. And cuts of the chase, there was no necessity whatsoever to introduce something called a vaccine. Let me just explain why. The younger people my age, I'm 62, so a youngish fit person or younger, almost none of them died of this so-called virus. So why would you want to vaccinate all the population when most people have got perfectly satisfactory immunity? So that was one thing. And yet Bill Gates and others wanted a needle in every arm, and they still want a needle in every arm. But I've got something even more fatal to the narrative. Most people will know that you're offered, usually free, an annual flu vaccine. Well, the thing is, I had a look at the meta-analysis over a decade in the UK, and it turns out that flu vaccines do not reduce severe flu or deaths from flu in the UK. And I can tell you why they don't work. The reason that elderly, frail people are vulnerable is their immune system slowed down and doesn't respond well to new challenges, right? That sounds uncontroversial. Why in the world, Alex, would you think they'd respond well to vaccines? And they don't. So the people who get benefit don't need it, and the people who are at risk of death don't get the benefit. The whole thing is a lie. Don't go near these so-called vaccines, which I will talk about in depth.
We've got a few minutes to break and we'll come back, but you've really called it years ago it was happening, but you've now said, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but your own words, that this is a premeditated, poisonous or dangerous thing. Speak to how you know it's premeditated, and then why would they do it? Why would they think they're going to get away with it? Because now it looks like they're not getting away with it, thanks to you.
Well, I'm not the only one. I think the main weapon they have against people like me, and you will know all about this, is censorship. I'm probably one of the most censored people. I've been ejected off Twitter, and I've not been allowed back despite my appeals. I can't comment under a YouTube video or post any. They get deleted in real time as I type them. I can't, you know, if you Google me, you'll find I'm a conspiracy theorist. But if you use something like Yandex, which is a Russian browser, you will find 80 interviews by me. So basically they're not frightened of people like me because they figure that I won't be heard. So here's the thing. Please, listener, what I ask you to do is memorize two or three of the most powerful things I told you. You must go and tell 10 other people. Please don't tell me it's hard. I know it's hard. I've been trying to do this for almost 3 years. But the only way we'll win is if you tell 10 other people. The mass media is never going to tell them, right? They're never going to tell them. And they won't work it out on their own. They're still in the narrative.
Well, that's right. Stay there. That's so powerful, though. The people have to mobilize. They tell 10. They tell 10. Tell them tell 10. Chain reaction. Stay there, Dr. Michael Yeadon. We'll come right back. I've been following Dr. Michael Yeadon for almost 3 years and totally admiring him. And of course, I get his name wrong and say Yeadon. It's Yeadon. And we've got him till the end of the hour. And I really want him to just know he has the floor and laser focus on what he saw. He's already on his curriculum, the background, his predictions that came exactly true in that emergency filing he did in the EU in December of 2000 that was so powerful that predicted the blood clots, the heart attacks, the myocarditis, the infertility. And then now the vindication is all this comes out as it confirmed. And then where does he see this needs to go to bring justice to these people? Because he's right. The censorship day one was what allowed them to get away with this attack to obviously bring in their global social credit score, their vaccine passports, all of that. So sir, please continue.
Yeah, no, certainly. You asked me, Alex, before the break, how I was so sure that this was deliberate rather than some sort of accidental overreaction. Well, what I can tell you is that this idea of telling us that there's a pandemic and using coordinated media to terrify people in every country, and then, as you said, using the lockdown, a kind of prison term, that didn't just get worked out in the first quarter of 2020. I didn't realize till about a year, but at least 10 rehearsals have taken place. And I prompted your researchers to look and pick up a video by a German journalist called Paul Schreier, S-C-H-R-E-Y-E-R, on YouTube, surprisingly, called Pandemic Simulations, Preparation for a New Era. They have been running simulations of worldwide pandemics, mostly of respiratory disease, since 1997. And they've involved every country and institution, including coming up to the Bill Gates-sponsored event 201 at the end of 2019. They've rehearsed this again and again and again and again. That tells me it's deliberate, that they intended to execute this plan. So that's the first thing to say. And then the second thing, like I've said, is all the things they told us about the virus were lies, absolutely everything. It's not very serious. It doesn't kill many people. Children are not faintly at risk, and so on. And that was so that they could get you used to taking orders from mass media people. You know, who are these people that they think they can order you and I around? But they've frightened people and got them used to jumping to orders. So that's one thing. But the main thing they wanted, I think, was to get people ready to roll their sleeves up and take a jab. Now, just before the break, I told you that flu vaccines do not reduce serious illness and death in the vulnerable. So don't reduce death. Well, I tell you what, even if these vaccines had been made well and delivered appropriately, this still wouldn't work, because the people who would die of this so-called COVID-19 are the people who could not be helped by vaccination. Vaccination is the wrong strategy for any new outbreak like this. It should always be early treatment. So what are they doing? They've lied. They're going forward with a strategy that I've just explained as an expert could not possibly work, does not work in the case of flu. And yet they've injected, I think, 5.5 billion people. For goodness sake, 5.5 billion people. And then I'm going to tell you, I don't know why other people aren't saying this in the industry. If you introduce to the human body mRNA, basically wrapped in lipid, which is like the Pfizer and Moderna products, if they get expressed, taken up in your body, you hijack the manufacturing machinery in your body, and you make whatever's encoded, Alex, you will turn yourself into a virus protein or foreign protein factory. This is terrible. Your body demarks the inside and keeps it as self, and the outside is non-self. And when they mix, you get an immune reaction.
So when the shot skips the sinus and your body's first line of defense is, it goes in, explain this, you're a scientist, it programs your cells to make the spike protein similar to prions, right?
Not necessarily. But the main thing is they're making a protein that does not belong in your body. Your body notices that those cells and tissues are expressing non-self. Your immune soldiers, your platoon, heavy weapons, go to work, and their job is to destroy that cell. That's how they stop you getting cancer every day. If there's a single cell that goes aberrant, tumorous.
So they know that it's going to cause an autoimmune response to the body.
Definitely. Every time. And here's the worst part, the thing that's, I mean, I wish it didn't, but things keep confirming what I guessed in 2020, which was this is totalitarian control, and ultimately they're going to depopulate, which sounds crazy. I was the sort of person who listened to the BBC and read the Times newspaper until 2020. I have no history of involvement in unusual campaigns, and I probably would have chuckled at conspiracy theorists, present company excepted. But I'm now joining you. It's absolutely obvious that if you inject people with mRNA, it doesn't matter what it encodes for. What did we hear a month ago? The pharmaceutical companies are remanufacturing all the old vaccines in mRNA form. And they've ordered, or there are business terms with each government to buy 10 injections per man, woman, and baby in every country. And I can assure you, you could not possibly stand up to 10 of these injections. But I can see how easily they could put us in a position where you get no choice. So just cutting to the chase, what I think is going to happen, and I wish I wasn't being right, I think they will make digital ID mandatory, not necessarily vaccine passport, but that would do. Digital ID will become mandatory. You will not be able to shop or travel or work without it or get healthcare. And I think the other thing they'll do is withdraw cash and replace all currency with central bank digital currencies. At that point, Alex, if they say if you don't get your next jab, we'll not allow you to buy gasoline or travel or buy food, that the system I've just described is trivial. It's already ready to go. So I say to people, use cash, diversify the businesses you buy from. Any business that won't take cash, tell them you're not going to work with them anymore. And for goodness sake, tell people. I don't care if it might be a little embarrassing. I can assure you what I've been doing for the last few years has not enhanced my reputation with people I used to work with, the cowards. I'll call them out again. You know, Patrick Vallance, you're a liar. Matai Mamman, who was the head of R&D at Johnson & Johnson. I told him that he should resign before he gets imprisoned, and he's resigned. He resigned, making no announcement as to the reason why. Who else? Many Pangalos at AstraZeneca, you are a criminal. You need to sue me. Otherwise, you know, everyone will know what I've just said is true. So every person who's injected with a product that contains messenger RNA that codes for something that doesn't belong in your body will induce an autoimmune reaction. So here's the thing. This, I think, will resonate. No one else has said this. Have you noticed that there's a wide range of side effects from the existing mRNA vaccines, myocarditis, neurological conditions, brain blood clots, deep vein thrombosis and so on. I think I know why. When you get injected with one of these materials, they don't deposit evenly around the body. That sometimes more of it will go to one vascular bed than another. So if it goes mostly to your heart, I think those are the people who've got myocarditis.
Stay there. This is too important. Longer segment coming up. Incredibly important information. Dr. Michael Yeadon, stay right there. Oh, man, this is so important. And it's all been vindicated. Everything he said has come true. We're going to talk about it all and what he believes is coming next. We're going to stop this takeover, this biomedical tyranny together. Stay with us.
They realized that the shots were causing the explosion of chronic disease, asthma, neuroimmune diseases like psychosis, ADHD, autism, cancer, autoimmune diseases. So they realized in 2011 they caused it all. So, or in 2009, and when our paper came out, they realized that these were the shots were associated strongly, very strongly, the chance of them not being associated, it was like being struck by lightning, one in at least a million in a p-value. And so they covered this all up because, of course, they were liable now because for the 42 million Americans who are asymptomatic carriers of HIV and SARS-CoV-2 and other XMRVs, other manufactured mouse, monkey, and human viruses. The game was premeditated murder of the 42 million people you're liable for their injury. Premeditated murder. If you give somebody who already has an antibody a shot, you will get antibody-dependent enhancement.
Oh, so they were getting rid of the people they'd already poisoned, knowing that giving them a second or third or fourth dose would kill them. Wow.
Correct. Kill us, cremate us, add a mask, and isolation, and you'll blame the people for COPD or any of the other co-diseases. You never inject an HIV-positive person with any vaccine. We never did. Never until now. You do not drive the disease-causing entity through their body.
Why do we know that all over the world, that people that have had the COVID vaccine are testing positive for HIV? Is that because of the spike proteins from HIV?
It has GP120, glycoprotein 120, absolutely. It also has the monkey, mouse, and manufactured XMRV. So the spike protein is killing, you know, literally the 12%.
So you're saying it's a binary weapon where they already are preloaded with it, and this triggers the next phase?
Correct.
Mm.
And the more vaccines you got, especially Gardasil, because that has the toxic synthetic lipid nanoparticles similar to the one in the COVID shot. Prior to the COVID shot, the deadliest vaccine, we saw athletes dropping dead on the field, passing out, falling down, all the things.
Yeah, why is it particularly the athletes?
Because they operate at oxygen max, capacity max. They're operating at such a high level in their mitochondria. This is an energy production, oxygen necessary disease.
So they create, that's what they're finding. They turbocharge the blood clots.
Correct.
Wow.
Yep. And ischemia, lack of oxygen. So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
You looked at our nitric oxide. I saw it was the top rated. They let us private label it. It's the best seller. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes.
Well, I'm not a scientist like you. What do these compounds do creating nitrous oxide? What does it do?
It relaxes the vasculature. So the clot will go through and not restrict. It allows it to relax. It lowers the blood pressure.
Well, this is such life-saving information. Dr. Michael Yeadon is our guest. I would invite him back for a commercial-free podcast that we tape on Saturdays. We can tape it any time, but those are usually at about 2-3 million views. People love those commercial-free podcasts. That way he can even send us a PowerPoint if he wants. We can put slides up there. He can do a whole presentation without me even talking. But we ran another break, sir. You're trying to make a point that was really key as we went to break.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I was talking just before the break that when a person is injected with one of these mRNA so-called vaccines, they don't distribute evenly around the body. There'll be kind of lumpy distribution. And so I believe that wherever it lands in your body, in the heart or blood vessels in the brain or in your legs, whatever, if it gets taken up and expressed there, you end up showing non-self to your immune system, which comes in and destroys that tissue. And maybe cell by cell, it won't kill you on day one. But that's why people get progressive illness quite often, and they're just constantly sick. So here's the thing. If you get a lot of deposition in the heart, you'll get myocarditis or pericarditis. If you get a lot of distribution in your brain or spinal cord or peripheral nervous system, any one of a number of horrible neurological conditions that you've seen, people shaking uncontrollably and so on. If it lands in the back of your eye, you'll get loss of vision suddenly in one eye. And that's happened to two people I know. What else? If it lands in your ovaries, infertility, your immune system will destroy the egg cells in your ovary. If it lands in pregnant uterus, stillbirth, or premature delivery. So you get the point. What I've told you explains all the effects, the fact that people aren't becoming ill and dying, and the huge diversity of adverse events that they are just ignoring. It's all clearly there in public databases like VAERS in the US, very good system. The military has a similar system, shows same pattern, yellow card, and so on. Everywhere in the world, honest public health officials can see what I'm saying is true, but they're just lying, lying, lying.
And the insurance company actuaries are showing a massive increase in death, never before seen, correct?
They are, absolutely. And see, and then when people say, oh, well, it's COVID. No, it isn't. The people who are dying now are the people who've been injected. And a lot of those people are young and middle-aged people, which is why lots of workforces have enormous sickness absence rates at the moment. So you're right, the life insurance excess claims is for the working age population. They're not the people who typically would have perished with flu, you know, at 80 or 90 years of age. It's young people. It's all around the world, almost without exception, where COVID-19 vaccines have been, you know, rained upon the population. Just a quick point so that people will know you're being lied to. So, for example, we were told it's safe to give to pregnant women. Well, I can tell you, 60 years of experience since thalidomide has that produced a red line that operated all the way through my career. You never give experimental medical interventions to a pregnant woman. Alex, you never do it. Even if it might save her life, you still have to have that argument about whether it's worth risking birth malformations or killing the fetus. So that's one group. We never should inject people who already apparently had this disorder. As you said, immunity from prior illness of the same type is the strongest defense. And then thirdly, we should never inject children. Not one of them in Europe died because of this so-called virus. So they're chasing pregnant women, your children or grandchildren, and they're chasing you if you've not been jabbed, even if you think you've had it already. These guys are literally, they are psychopaths at this point. And one thing I wanted to mention, people might say, well, if it wasn't as bad as you say, you know, this virus, and it wasn't an emergency, how did they all die? And I can tell you, medical murder. I mean, it's absolutely shocking. A lot of people were admitted to hospital, and if they had a positive test, PCR test, we were told they were a COVID admission. Those people were given remdesivir, which is a supposed antiviral, but it actually destroys the kidneys in about 20 to 30% of patients. It's so toxic, you shouldn't give it.
And by the way, since you're a world-leading expert in opiates and drugs for surgery, I forget the name of the drug, but I saw it in the UK that the government stocked up on before COVID, and that they gave patients that had COVID and were on respirators, but the drug was known to kill respiration. What was that drug?
Yeah, it's called Midazolam. and the mixture of midazolam, which is, it's like a granddaddy of Valium. So it's a real strong sedative, the midazolam. And they were also giving them morphine, which is like a fentanyl-type drug, midazolam, morphine, and remdesivir. But here's the thing, they're also giving them mechanical ventilation, what you would not be expected to know, and the public should not be expected to know, because they think of mechanical ventilation as life-saving. Well, sure, it is, if you've come in with a road traffic accident or if you happen to have open chest surgery. But I'll tell you what, in my 30 years experience, we never ventilated someone with of 80 with other diseases because they had flu. Why not? Really important, this one. Influenza-like illnesses, including COVID, are not obstructive airway diseases. They don't obstruct your airway. If you're breathless, you need oxygen, but you definitely don't want to be sedated, intubated, and ventilated, because that on its own is incredibly aggressive to an elderly person. And then they whacked IV remdesivir, midazolam, and morphine, and they did it at higher doses than usual. It's not hidden.
NHS, it was globally standardized. Even the UN had meetings and said, we're told what to do by Big Pharma. So Big Pharma got together in these confabs, decided the policy, did the drills beforehand, suppressed the therapeutics, suppressed speech, suppressed the truth, and then rolled something out, as you said, that's premeditated murder.
I'm afraid it is. Yeah, there's no question. There was no question about it. And you might say, well, or people might say, well, surely the doctors would know this is not right. No, only a small percentage of people, like ER people or people who are skilled in acute medicine, would understand what I just said, that mechanical ventilation in the right place is life-saving and a miracle. For everybody else, stay away from it. And giving it to elderly people without obstructed airways, they just have flu-like illness. So you should give them oxygen and calm them down.
Sure, doctor, the time we have, and I can have you back for 10 hours. We were so gracious to join us. We got a few minutes to break. Just 35,000-foot view, and I want you to say it in your own words. You were on a show about a month ago. We played it a lot. And you said, look, I didn't really believe in God or any of this, but looking at this, it makes you know there's organized evil. Can you, in your own words, elaborate on that and restate that?
Yes, I certainly can. I mean, it's I've looked very hard for people always ask me, why are they doing it? And they claim they claim there's a necessity to reduce the population because the world is overpopulated. It's not true. If you look at the density of people on the planet, and the rate of growth now is almost zero, it's almost flattened out. People like Musk have said the biggest problem in 50 years is a falling population. So rule that one out. We're not overpopulated. We're also not running out of so-called fossil fuels. There's loads of coal and oil, and the climate. We are not destroying the climate. That they've had 50 years worth of lies on that front. So I've ruled out the things I would like there to be a reason. And I get to the conclusion that they're doing it because they can. I think they've been planning it for decades. And secondly, I think they believe it's their, I don't know, a birthright. I do believe it's diabolical. It's not science-based. These people, they want control, and they're quite happy to, I think they're going to kill 90% of the population if we don't stop them. So, but here's the point. One of the ways they'll do it, the WHO, I think, is a horrible organization. It's not really anything to do with health. They are trying at the moment, folks, to get all the countries of the world to sign updated international health regulations, whereby in the event it's a public health emergency of international concern, then Tedros, the head of the WHO, I'm not kidding you here, will have legal autonomy, legal power to set health policy in your country, in the US, in Europe, in the UK. And they're close to doing it, the international health regulations. But I should point out to you that even if you trusted the WHO, it's mad to centralize power when you're facing a new challenge. How have humans solved new challenges? The answer is they've done lots of different experiments. A different community.
You're totally right. Things. Stay there. Final segment under my lead on. Amazing. It's a long segment. I'm going to try to just shut up and give you the floor. So much to cover. Everybody, we need to share this interview. We'll be right back. All right. Final segment with Dr. Michael Yeadon. We could listen to him for 10 hours. And I want to really ask him in the next month, whenever he can, to come back and do a commercial-free broadcast, because those podcasts get millions and millions of views. We got to get him on Joe Rogan as well, whose studio is right down the street. We've got Dr. Peter McCullough coming in here in studio next segment to talk about the vindication, everything that's come out. And it's not about a victory lap. It's about These experts weren't lying to you, and they went through hell. He's been sued. He's been attacked. Everybody's been attacked. About Dr. Peter McCullough, I've been viciously attacked, but it's okay. We can stare on air if you just support us and if you just go to InfoWarsStore.com and get the great products we have. This has been sold out for over 2.5 years. We have the new formula. It's even stronger. It's got the concentrated turmeric. It's got the concentrated chicken broth. It's got the chaga mushroom, the bee pollen, everything that's so good for your immune system. Ultimate Bone Broth, the best out there. You're not going to have anything better. Back in stock, 25% off, InfoWarsStore.com. And I just went off what the scientist and expert said that's good for your blood. Nitric Boost is already number one best-selling product that we were able to private label that has compounds that really make your blood a lot healthier and cleaner and better. This is what a lot of doctors on the show have been recommending just for, with all the stuff going on. It's available at InfoWarsStore.com. And we have full-spectrum CBD, no THC, full-spectrum high-end CBD for about half the price you get it in stores. Private label by us, already top-selling brand in the country at InfoWarsStore.com. And that's how we fight through this. By the grace of God, stay on air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com so we can continue to have these incredible guests on and fight through this together. But this is a war. So Dr. Yeadon, please continue in the 10 minutes we have left with other key points you want to add. And I think the vindication is important because it shows you were right and others were right. So we can now prosecute and go after the folks that did this. Nuremberg 2, criminal investigations in Japan, Europe, Florida. All over the place, these things are starting. Please continue.
Yeah, certainly. So like I said, they lied to us from the beginning. And the right number of times that your public health officials will lie is zero. As soon as you realize they are lying, why would you believe anything else that they say? And then the main theme about the so-called vaccines is that even if the narrative was accurate, which is not, they would not work. They're not life-saving, just as flu vaccines are not life-saving. And in particular, these messenger RNA creations, when they're expressed in various tissues of your body, cause your body to attack that tissue. And it will happen automatically. It's not an accidental side effect. It's built into the mechanism. So I describe these as toxic by design. And that's why I know it's deliberate and malign. I would say it's immunology 101. You would be taught it in the first couple of weeks of any basic immunology course. That's how you distinguish self from non-self and keep yourself, you know, safe and healthy. So do not allow yourself, no matter the price and the punishment and the threats, to be injected by these mRNA products. If you've been unfortunate enough to have had one, today's a good day to resolve not to have any more. And there are several groups working on potential antidotes and recoveries. But don't take the chance. They're not there for your health. They're there ultimately to, I think, to depopulate. So what are they going to do? Just to say it again, I predict that we will see ever more encroachment over our freedom of movement, our freedom to buy things, our freedom to consume, you know, fresh natural products, for example, and things will become more and more, you know, factory farms, including the ghastly news I heard tomorrow. The EU will approve a law that allows them to add a ground up cricket flour to almost every baked goods. And people don't know about the stuff. They're going to be eating these. But the other thing I predicted, as I said earlier, is the introduction of a mandatory digital ID. They'll say, oh, well, you really need to have one in order that we know that it's you that's operating your bank account. Alex, I'd point out banks have been around for centuries. We've never needed a digital ID, and we do not need one now. So reject it. Push back any bank.
By the way, just to interrupt, back to the crickets. I've seen a bunch of studies that the chitin shell of bugs, humans aren't meant to eat those. We can eat grubs and things that don't have that, the larval form, but it's very toxic to mammals, particularly humans, to eat bugs.
Yeah, we do not have the enzymes in our guts to break down the shell chitin, as you said. We cannot eat it. So, you know, they might say, oh, well, we'll take the wing cases off and we'll just use the squashy parts. It's a revolting idea. And the whole basis of it, that meat is environmentally bad, is just BS. So, you know, don't let them do it to us. And don't let them. So I've explained why digital ID is the heart of tyranny. You do not need it. You've never needed it. You don't need it now. Someone's trying to make you have one, and they're giving you bullshit reasons why you must have one. I think if they say without digital ID, you can't travel overseas, I would say, well, I'm going to campaign against it, and I ain't traveling overseas until I win.
That's right. We got to draw a line in the sand. But you've said some really eloquent words. Can you repeat them or expand on them about Nuremberg II, prosecutions, yeah. What needs to be done, Fauci gain of function?
Yeah, no, absolutely. This, I've just listed out several of the things that public health officials and senior people in pharmaceutical companies, at a minimum, and there are many others, they've lied to us, they've destroyed or damaged with the intention to destroy the economy of the developed world. And I think that's deliberate. I think they want to tell us, oh dear, the economy's broken, everyone's lost confidence in your currency, but the Bank of International Settlements and we, like the Fed, Federal Reserve, working together will bring out cashless central bank digital currency. The combination of digital ID, mandatory, and cashless CBDC is the end of your freedom. We must not let this happen. So use cash. I don't care, you know, it cannot be too inconvenient to save your life by going to an ATM if you haven't.
Oh, this makes me want to move to the country next to Amish and start bartering with them. I mean, the whole future is going to be getting away from this.
Exactly. So I've written, you know, so use the cash, do some basic preparation, you know, whatever. I'm not a prepper, but I make sure that I know what my next move is. So I'm going to, I will minimize the degree to which they can.
But what about when you talk about going on the offense, though, peacefully to prosecute them and nip it in the bud?
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, it's not my field of expertise, but I have written affidavits for at least 10 different court cases. So, yes, I think wherever in the world and on whatever basis related to all these COVID lies and the poisonous injections and the terrible hospital treatment, on any of those bases, we need to attack, you know, using law, as well as letting people know that this is happening and just trying to persuade them. As soon as people turn off mass media and start to think, they realize what I've said to you is absolutely true. So I'd say never give up, because these people are not going to.
No, I agree. And how powerful it is that even if Musk hasn't let you and I back on, the people that really have an effect, that at least a lot of the stuff's coming out proving big pharma with big tech colluded to suppress people. I mean, that is a scandal of scandals.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not a bragging person, but I think the reason they have not allowed me back on, Alex, is that I am absolutely kryptonite for their narrative. People will believe me because I'm telling the truth. I've lost money. People say I'm a grifter. I've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've made not $1 in earnings, and I've not accepted $1 in gifts.
Which I think is your mistake. When you're champion freedom, you should be writing books. You should be.
Yeah. The point I wanted to make there is I'm not making money from this, even though I could, and I think that improves the confidence the audience should have that I'm doing it.
But honestly, what proves it is you filed stuff with the EU in 2000 saying everything was going to happen that did. You're totally vindicated in spades.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, what is going on at high level is incredibly simple. I remember I read the canon of American sci-fi as a teenager, and this plot is really dull. It's horrible and frightening, but it's really straightforward. Digital ID, roll up for your vaccine, else we will not let
you. Mad medical scientists kill most of us. The rest of us are sick for life. Make us so sick we got to be in artificial wombs, take over the human species. I mean, it's a THX-1138 meets Brave New World meets The Matrix.
It is. It's all of that. So what else? I would say engage local leaders. If you've got a sheriff or a city mayor in a small town or whatever, go and find these people. Just take a half an hour meeting, respectfully turn up with just two or three pieces of information that says we're clearly being lied to. It's not as described. And this guy, you know, Yeadon and Malone and McCulloch and so on, are really worrying me.
And the good news is we're starting to win, but we can't give up now. We got to push. Because like you said, they've got new pandemics ready they're drilling for.
Yeah, and the pandemics are, I think I should tell you, pandemics are actually impossible. And I'll just explain what severe respiratory disease pandemics are impossible. Let me say why. That just like Ebola, if you've got a really serious respiratory infection, you become symptomatic the day you're infected, and that means you withdraw from circulation. You're sick in your bed, in your living room, or in bed. So that means you've stopped infecting other people. It's literally not possible to have a severe respiratory disease pandemic, and that's why we've never had one. The Spanish flu, they've lied to us about that. people died of bacterial pneumonia in a pre-antibiotic era.
All right, Dr. Michael Yeadon, incredible. Please come back soon for a commercial-free podcast.
I'd love to.
God bless you. Thank you. We're going to go to break and come back with Dr. Peter McCullough. Incredible. Thank you, Dr. Yeadon. God bless you.
At the beginning of this year, we are confronted with unprecedented and multiple challenges. We need to overcome the most critical fragmentation. And the most critical fragmentation is between those who take a constructive attitude and those who are just bystanders, observers, and even go into the negative, critical, and confrontational attitude.
There it is, out in the open. You know who he's talking about? You know who has a negative and confrontational attitude? Okay, those that are critical against the World Economic Forum and the New World Order. You want to know who Klaus Schwab is talking about? The man that people claim doesn't exist, the man that the deep state and the shadow government claim isn't real, that these people aren't out there in Switzerland meeting together talking about how they're going to oppose people that oppose their agendas, that are satanic, that are tyrannical, that want to shut down the free world and shut down free humanity and their freedoms. He's talking about you, ladies and gentlemen. He's talking about Alex Jones. He's talking about InfoWars. He's talking about band.video. He's talking about the free world. He's talking about the United States of America. He's talking about anybody that opposes everything that these people stand for, which is Satanism, Luciferianism, and ultimate tyranny, not only in the real world, but they want to take it into a VR, AR world as well, because they want to control your mind. What he is talking about is opposing everything that you love, everything that you stand for, everything that you've ever known, because they're envisioning a new world where it's controlled by these global elites, where it's a virtual reality matrix, where you will own nothing and be happy, and you will just absolutely accept everything they shove down your mouth. What Klaus Schwab says out in the open is what he means. A lot of people take a look at that guy and say, oh, he's just an old man that wants to, you know, not be a boomer and be an old wineskin that wants to get with the times and move us into the future. Yeah, but with a tyrannical agenda that wants to impose literal slavery upon humanity, and he says it out in the open that we need to overcome those that are critical against us, that have a negative mindset against us. This is the war you're in. Every single one of us watching right now are in this info war. Every single one of us are engaged. Every single one of us, we are all John Connor. We are all facing Skynet. We are all facing the AI takeover. We are all facing the technocracy. We are all facing the censorship. We are all facing these things that are opposing humanity. And InfoWars.com, band.video, InfoWarsStore.com is literally the tip of the spear, and out front and center, that is why they are so banned. That is why they get demonized and slandered everywhere you look in the media. You want to know why? Because Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, all of these global elites know exactly what this network stands for, and it is to stand against them and their tyranny. This is exactly why we need to support free speech systems, because if we don't have this, if we don't have an alternative economy, if we don't have alternative media that is standing alone, standing their ground, we will get defeated by Skynet. We will get defeated by the New World Order. And thank God people are waking up to the reality because of clips like this, that these people are A, in existence, B, homicidal tyrannical maniacs, and C, they literally are opposing the free world and free humanity. This is why we need to support InfoWars, because this is everything we stand for. It's bigger than Alex Jones. It's bigger than InfoWars. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than you. This is about free humanity. This is about good versus evil and God fighting the devil. You got to pick a side now.